station. Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. But here's what I've learned about myself over the years. I have a high-functioning brain.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Jeff Lutz.
Goodness gracious, you're really struggling today. If I had said that, I mean, I'd be kicked off the show permanently.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Tuesday edition. Had to think there for a minute. Seems like Wednesday.
It does?
But it's Tuesday.
Man, I wish it was Wednesday. That means tomorrow would be Thursday.
You don't like Tuesday.
Not a big Tuesday guy.
The only thing I like about Tuesday is we get the trash picked up.
You notice yesterday the sun was out. It got kind of warm, but not uncomfortable. And what happens Tuesday? It's dreary. It's still kind of nice out.
I thought you liked dreary.
I know, but I'm just saying the universe tells us what days to like.
I thought you liked dreary.
I don't know if I like dreary.
I don't think it's dreary. I think it's a nice, cool, overcast day. You need some of those, man.
I'm just saying it's not a coincidence that it happened on Tuesday rather than Monday.
Well, that defeats everything you've ever said about you want darkness. You don't want the.
I like natural darkness. I like when it gets dark naturally. I like dark skies. I don't mind overcast.
You don't like
every
what?
Now and then, but not every day.
It's 69 degrees out there.
Yeah, whatever.
We got showers in the area. They've moved off mostly to the east. But I spent some time over across the street this morning and thoroughly enjoyed it.
What'd you do over there?
You don't need to know that.
We're getting the
lights figured out. We're going to have new lights installed on two fields.
That's what I was wondering about. What's the ETA for those?
We hope soon.
You got a lot of irons in the fire right now. A
lot of irons in the fire.
Professionally, personally.
Kitchen remodel. At home. A lot going on for an old man.
There is a lot.
Think I can withstand it?
Probably. It's mostly other people doing the work, so that's
well, now,
good.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't think you're going to go out and put up lights, are you? I don't think you're going to
knock down the walls in the
kitchen.
I got to facilitate.
Do you?
Sure. Why do you think I was over there?
I mean, you facilitate, but they kind of figure it
you
out on their own.
You think you could do this job?
No, of course not. Nor would I want to.
Well, why don't you think you could?
It's just not in my wheelhouse. I'm not a go talk to light putter in her guy.
What?
You know what I mean. I don't want to go over there and talk to somebody putting in lights. I don't want to do that. That's just going to make me sound like an idiot.
What do you mean?
Put him here instead of this over here.
I'm just listening to them. I'm not offering my opinion.
Well, then
I don't know anything about it.
What's the
facilitation is when can we get it done? What needs to happen? What's our responsibility?
Sounds like they're facilitating you a little bit. We'll tell you when it gets done. We'll tell you.
No, I'm the guy, man.
You know what happened today?
No, I don't want to know now. Because all you're doing is lobbing insults.
No insults.
You're degrading me. You're downplaying me. And I don't like it when you do that. Others can do that. Not my son. I brought you into this world.
Shouldn't your son be the only one who can do that?
My son can't do that.
Name the top five people who can do that.
Anybody else.
Really? They're allowed to throw insults at you?
Not you.
All right.
Even my wife is allowed to. Because I'll listen to her. You're not.
All right.
You're not here without me.
I don't even remember what we're talking about anymore.
You understand?
Yeah.
So, you know, you bark up that tree, and I'm going to bite. Does that make sense to you?
Are you in the tree?
What do you have? What happened today?
Well, someone, and I'm not going to watch it straight through or even look at a lot of it. I know what's going on.
Oh, it's got to be the Eagles.
It's the Eagles. But
gosh, Jeff, every day are we going to do this?
But I will say this, and it's hard to get it because it's like a two-hour video. Someone filmed the whole concert. But Don Henley said J.D. Souther.
No, he didn't.
He absolutely did.
No, he didn't.
100%
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he. Of course he did.
Well, I don't have proof.
Well, I'll find it for you.
You watched the whole thing?
No, I wanted to hear the parts where he talked. I did not watch the whole thing.
Why would you? I thought you were going to avoid this.
Well, I can't, and I don't care.
I wish Duda was here right now.
It's going to be amazing either way. It's going to be a culmination. It's going to be a lifetime encapsulated into.
Do you think I should just drive out there on my own and go?
I heard you wanted to go.
Who told you that?
I just heard it through
my
the
wife.
I don't know. This could have been.
How would I pull that off?
Why don't we go for our last one ever
no,
in January?
That doesn't have appeal. No offense.
To go with your son for the last time?
I know that sounds terrible, and listeners, please hang with me. The thing that has the most appeal is to go out on my own. I don't remember who I went with in 1977 or 6 at Henry Levitt Arena. I honestly don't remember who I went with.
I don't know.
I presume I went with somebody, but I may not have.
No reason to.
It's possible that I just went. Because I don't remember who I was with.
I can't imagine.
So it might be
1976 Eagles coming to your city. Unbelievable.
I might just say, you know what? Let's end it the way it started. Me solo.
You should end it with your son.
Why?
Why not?
Because I'd have to drive with you out there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fun. You're right.
We'd have to, you know, talk and would it work? I can't do the same hotel room with you, so you're going to have to buy your own hotel room.
Well, I feel like
I don't do the same hotel room outside of my wife. Those days are over. You know, I used to get sent out with the Wichita Eagle and you shared a hotel room with another guy. And
one time I didn't have to.
What
it was
it?
Unbelievable. It was so good and such a nice hotel.
Who?
Me. One what? Of those years. I think it was the play-in game year for Wichita State. One of those where I got my own hotel room and it was just luxurious. Maybe I was waiting on you or somebody, but I had my own room. Unbelievable.
What do you mean you had your own room?
I mean, I had my own
room.
You either
paid for it?
As far as I know, I didn't pay for it.
Well, that's just ridiculous. I didn't like rooming with no offense to anybody.
Who was your least favorite roommate?
I'm not going to say that.
No, they're not listening.
No, I'm not saying that.
They might not even be living.
A couple of them snored a lot.
Well, so do you. No offense.
Well, I didn't at that time, but I did later. What do you mean, so do I? No offense.
You snore.
No, I don't.
Not anymore?
No.
That's good.
I've had several things cut out. All right, here's what we have for you on the show today. Adam Teicher, ESPN.com, longtime Chiefs beat writer, will join us at 2:25. Of course, it's Adam's final year on the beat. He's been on the beat over 30 years in one capacity or another. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, our guest at 2:45. Pretty good day to have Kevin on as it looks like the AAC is holding together after being poached or attempted poaching from the Pac-12. And then later today, Jeff, I'll have a game.
Probably.
What do you mean probably?
I mean, I do have it. Something.
What do you mean probably?
It's something.
This is every Tuesday,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know. It gets hard.
It's a staple of the show.
I understand
it's
that.
It's one of the only responsibilities you have.
Why don't you create a game
because
once
I
a
get
month.
All the guests.
Yeah, I could do
I
that.
I do all that. That's what I do.
I could do all that. I could text
okay,
Adam.
Okay, you got the text. You got guests from now on.
No, I'm not doing it.
See? There you go.
I don't get backed into a corner like that. If you wanted to say, "Hey, maybe a time or two you can get guests, and we'll work together on it." But I'm not going to.
No,
you're doing this.
I like getting guests.
Anytime the thing is you're doing this, the answer is
I like getting
no.
guests, and I really don't want you to have anything to do with the guests.
Perfect.
So, but I do want you to have a game every Tuesday.
Well, I got a game.
25. And that's your responsibility. Now,
all right.
We had a big brouhaha about you watching games yesterday on the
show. Was it a brouhaha?
Oh, big time.
It was a guy just saying I have no
big
effort.
Time. So I'll ask you this. Now,
you know I didn't watch the Monday night games.
I'm going to say this. I watched some of the Bills-Jags until it got crazy. Didn't watch the Washington Commanders, but went back and because of all the glowing comments about Jaden Daniels, I went back and watched the highlights. And let me say this. We talk about rookie quarterbacks who struggle, and there have been many of them. This guy ain't struggling.
Doesn't look like he's gonna.
Did you?
We're three games in. He's doesn't have a ton of weapons. I mean, he's got McLaurin. He's got the two running backs he can throw to a little bit. But it's not like it's the Commanders are just loaded. And he's making plays left and right. And it's pretty impressive because he won the Heisman last year. It's weird, right? It's like, did he surpass Caleb Williams, or was Caleb Williams so entrenched in people's minds that he had to go
number one? Commander's coach.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. I keep going back to that. They look like...
Wasn't it an assistant from the 49ers?
Max?
I thought it was Dan Quinn.
Is it Dan Quinn?
No. He's a coordinator somewhere, I think.
Well, I don't think you know. If Max is right...
It is Dan Quinn. How about that?
Oh, my God. You know what? Now you owe Max an apology.
I thought he was still a coordinator. I didn't know he got a job. Well, congratulations to Dan Quinn.
He's been around forever, mostly on the defensive side of the football. Maybe he's just turned Jaden Daniels over to the offensive coordinator and said, make him. Make him go.
He got a team to the Super Bowl. He got the Falcons to the Super Bowl.
I don't mind Dan Quinn.
And now if he has a dynamic young quarterback and someone you can build around, who knows?
I don't mind Dan Quinn.
I don't know him personally.
I told you the Commanders are that kind of team that I feel a little something for. You know what I'm saying?
They got rid of their owner. They said goodbye to Ron Rivera as coach. They brought in new front office people. They brought in a new coach and a new
quarterback.
And the
Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3.
Yeah, might be done.
How's your guy Scotty Griffiths doing?
I don't know.
And our good friend Joel T. Lamerno.
I don't talk to Scott about the Bengals.
Hey, you ought to rub it in.
We're Guardians fans.
That's what I'd do.
Why? What's the point?
Just having some fun.
When you haven't won a championship, you can't go rubbing it in with other people. That's just bad karma. Or maybe since I've done that my entire life, I should start rubbing it in. Maybe that's what works. The Cardinals suck this year, by the way.
Why'd you say that about me?
Just rubbing it in.
They'll be okay next year, or not. I don't care. They're going to do something that will please me.
You say that every year.
I believe that this is the year they put John Mozeliak, and we'll get Bernie Miklas on the show next week. This is the year I believe they put him into the background, at least.
Here's what I figured out, though. Organizations don't really change, and most teams these days kind of operate the same. And if you're waiting for some splash and you're not the Dodgers or the Yankees, then you're probably going to be waiting a long time for that.
Well, I disagree with you. The Cardinals have come to that fork in the road, and that's not the Guardians. The Guardians never make a big splash because they have about $35.
Why do they win all the time? What do you think helps them win all the time?
Luck.
They're just lucky. They must have some good players.
You know.
They must do some things right.
Terry Francona was a great manager.
Stephen
Vogt. No question about it. Well, you gotta give him credit. He's potentially the American League Manager of the Year.
It's not going to be Quartaro anymore, is it?
Certainly lost some of his juice, no question about it. I don't know who it would be outside of your guy.
Probably has to be him. Maybe the Astros guy, since he brought them from terrible early on to a division.
They were expected to be good,
but they weren't for a while.
That's not it. That's
I bet he finishes second
or
third.
Not a positive for him, in my opinion. That's why it take you so long, pal.
It's his first year too, isn't it?
I don't buy it. Sorry.
Second, maybe.
Not going there. A lot of big series.
Can you
going on in what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Don't ever interrupt.
Well, I was like, can you not have a successful managing year and be a good manager if you have a good team?
Just don't interrupt me.
I just don't like where you're going with that.
Big series all across baseball this week as things play out. Some things we know, some things we don't. The Detroit Tigers are up 2-0 at the end of 5 over Tampa Bay today. What they're doing is there will be books written.
Little unheard of.
About what the Tigers are doing. They just are relentless. You can't slow them down.
They got the Rays
and the White Sox. They're gonna sweep both.
Yeah, the Royals are in trouble and the Twins are in trouble.
They're both fighting it out.
They both have one sort of tough series. This would be that for the Tigers because Chicago isn't. Atlanta has, or the Royals have Atlanta to end it. They have Washington.
Let me tell you, Washington's no walk in the park. I know they're not, their record's not good, but the way the Royals are playing right now, Washington will be a real challenge. That series begins this evening in the nation's capital. You've got the Orioles who are fading, they're dropping quick. In New York to face the Yankees. You got the Mariners and the Astros, a big series in the American League West. And then in the National League, you got the Mets and the Braves. The Braves clawing, fighting to try to get into that third wild card position. And they're fighting and clawing with the Mets, who are right there with Arizona. Those three teams, two of those three will get in.
Right. I guess Seattle's in the mix, but you have Minnesota.
I'm talking about the National League.
No, me too. I'm going over there.
I'm not talking about the American League.
No, I'm saying they both have that. Where in the AL, it's kind of Minnesota, Kansas City, Detroit. One of those is going to miss.
Seattle.
One of those, and then the teams in the NL. They're right there. One of them's going to miss.
And then you have the.
What do you want to say?
When I do that. That means I'm not pleased.
I don't care.
When there's that little pause.
Oh, and this is supposed to make me feel
It's supposed to make you think, what did I mess up there?
I didn't.
You also have the Padres and the Dodgers. Now, both of those teams are in, but there's still some doubt as to who's going to win the West Division in the National League. The Dodgers currently have a 3-game lead. That's correct, a 3-game lead over San Diego. So interesting stuff in baseball. And tonight, like some idiot, I'll tune in and watch the Cardinals in Colorado. I mean, can you imagine?
They're home against Colorado.
No, they're in Colorado.
I thought they played at Colorado already.
No, they're in Colorado. Trust me, I know where they are.
I believe you, but I could have sworn.
No, you're wrong.
We had this
conversation. You could have sworn a lot of things.
About how difficult it was to play in Colorado.
You could have sworn Dan Quinn wasn't the coach of the Falcons.
I don't care.
Or the commander.
Coach of the Falcons is.
I mean, you swear to a lot of things.
But I care about where the Cardinals are playing tonight.
And that's what I'll be watching.
Enjoy
it. Like some sad sack.
I win tonight.
I got into one of these games that really matter because I'm almost drawn to it.
Yeah, if I win tonight, I don't have a meaningful game in 10 days or so.
Have nothing to do with winning.
What am I going to do with myself for that long of a time?
Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares what you do with yourself?
Well, who cares? There's 10 days.
Seriously. Josh Allen was fantastic last night. That team's amazing. They lost a lot of weapons offensively, or so we thought, and they've just replaced them.
Yeah, they believe in the guys that they had. Khalil Shakir.
Why though?
Because Khalil Shakir is good. And I think they knew that he was good. So hey, we don't need Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis anymore. And we'll lean on James Cook a little bit more. And we'll bring a rookie running back and a rookie receiver in to help us.
He completed 24 passes last night to 10 different people.
Right.
You're going to win a lot of games if you got 10 guys you can throw to.
That's kind of been Patrick Mahomes' forte over the course of his career. That may be something the Chiefs kind of need to get back to spread the wealth.
To pick up one of those people.
Who are you going
to
pick up?
Dalton Kincaid, baby.
Really?
You taken?
Your tight end?
Yeah.
Who is your tight end?
I don't know.
I thought you had a good tight end situation.
Out. Nah, I don't have a good situation.
It's too bad.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get with Adam Teicher. ESPN.com covers the Chiefs. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff, a Tuesday, back in a minute.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right. Adam Teicher joins us from ESPN.com, covers the Chiefs. He's been a friend to our show and previous shows here for a long time. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today, Bob?
We're doing okay. Here are the Chiefs, 3-0. And in this league in 2024, and the way that we consume our sports and comment about it on social media, boy, if you just read social media, you don't know what to think. I am of the opinion that if you're 3-0 and you're unbeaten and you played three pretty difficult games, you should be pretty happy.
Yeah, it beats the alternative, right? You're right. So maybe staying off social media ought to be the best avenue for everybody here. But you know, there are a lot of people who are, you're right, a little bit down on the Chiefs right now, but they're not necessarily the only ones. I mean, I don't know if you heard Pat Mahomes' comments after the game in Atlanta the other night, but he sounded like a guy who'd lost the game, you know, whose team had lost, and he was, you would never know that he was the quarterback of a 3-0 NFL team. He just sounded a little down, I guess, would be a pretty good word. And, you know, he just felt like he hasn't played well enough and the Chiefs haven't played well enough. And, you know, he's not apologizing in any way for 3-0, but you can tell he didn't feel like they've necessarily earned that record.
Is this still a quarterback league? And I present that with no alternative. I don't know what other kind of league it would be, but there have been some standout performances by quarterbacks, but mostly the numbers are down. We've heard it about Patrick Mahomes' career lows and stuff like that. Is it all relative, the numbers Mahomes is putting up so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing with the Chiefs is a symptom of what's going on around the league. I mean, you know, they've there's a lot of teams that were sort of struggling this way, and so it's not necessarily going to be pretty, that's for sure. But I think it is a bigger, it's kind of a symbol of what's going on, that there are a lot of teams that are struggling. I still think it's, you know, you've got to have that big time quarterback to win a championship, but maybe it's what the big-time quarterback looks like nowadays. It's not like it did, you know, 5, 6, 8 years ago when they were, everybody was putting up big numbers. Maybe it's going to look a little different this year.
Adam Teicher, our guest, the Chiefs 3-0. They have a road game coming up Sunday in Los Angeles against the Chargers. We're not sure of the status of Justin Herbert, at least I'm not. So who knows about that one? But the Chiefs are now without Isaiah Pacheco. They're without Hollywood Brown. Those are certainly two guys that figured prominently in this offense. Who steps up? Do we think Carson Steele has what it takes? He looked pretty good the other night, no question about it. Can Xavier Worthy increase his production? Can Travis Kelce become more like what we're used to seeing from Travis Kelce? And then Rashee Rice, who's played like an all-pro so far. Can he continue at that pace?
Yeah, they've got to. It's got to be all of the above, right? I mean, listen, with regard to Kelce, you know, part of what the Chiefs were thinking during the offseason in drafting Xavier Worthy and signing Hollywood Brown was that they were thinking, okay, we need to start transitioning our passing game away from being centered around a tight end who is now or soon to be 35 years old. He's going to be 35 in a few weeks. And so that's their thinking there. And so this season in the Chiefs' plans was never going to be all about Travis Kelce. It was going to be about him playing well, but maybe shifting a lot of his burden off to other guys. And we've seen that at least with Rashee Rice so far, but now they've got to find somebody else to kind of help out. And whether that's Xavier Worthy or somebody else, I don't know. But they've got to get more from their other guys, no doubt. And they need more from Kelce, but they can't ask of him what he used to be. They can't ask for that kind of production from him anymore because that's just not reasonable. So he can be part of the solution, but he just can't be the whole thing. They've got to have some other guys, and Worthy's a rookie. What do you have the right to ask from him? So it's an interesting situation here for the Chiefs, but they've got to identify somebody for sure.
Yeah, you kind of answered my question about Kelce, but I was just going to ask, you know, what does being a franchise and an NFL icon basically get him? Does he get 17 starts? If he's healthy, is the leash quite a bit longer with him? How does that all play out if Travis Kelce is still not putting up the numbers in a few weeks?
Well, you know, then the Chiefs, if they've determined that the problem was with him, then they have a decision to make, right? I mean, do you keep playing or do you lessen his load and play Noah Gray and some of their other younger tight ends a little more? So that's a good question here, but I don't know what they're going to do, and that's we'll see when it comes to that. I still think he's going to have some games that are similar to what we know him to be, you know, that'll be Travis Kelce-like games. He probably won't have them as consistently as he did, but, until he has them, I guess we'll never know.
Adam Teicher is our guest from ESPN.com. I thought of this question last night because I'm trying to think of fresh questions to ask about the Chiefs. We talk a lot about Andy Reid. We certainly talk a lot about this personnel. But I want your thoughts on Brett Veach and the job he's done over his time in Kansas City and not only building a championship roster, but so far being able to sustain it and to make it a powerful roster year after year. We had Blair Kirchhoff on the show yesterday, and I mentioned to him that we get caught up talking about maybe the potential some decline in the offense, but we don't talk about how well the Chiefs play defensively now, and that's a defense that was built through the drafting and moves of Brett Veach. How good is he, Adam?
Well, I think he's one of the best in the league. You know, it's not easy what they've done. The team they built around Patrick Mahomes, you know, that's they've done a really nice job through the draft, particularly on defense, as you mentioned. I mean, just about everybody the Chiefs played defensively came to the league with the Chiefs. You know, there's Justin Reed at safety. He was a free agent addition. Just about everybody else who plays any kind of significant role on defense started their careers with the Chiefs, so it's been a pretty impressive output from that group, and he's the architect behind that. So they've done a really nice job there, and there's some other things that they've done. You know, with the Tyreek Hill trade has worked out about as well for the Chiefs as they could have imagined. That, you know, they've won two Super Bowls in the years since he's been traded, and they got some guys who were part of that defense you're talking about, including Trent McDuffie here. So they've done a pretty nice job. Certainly not perfect. Not everything they've done has worked out, but so far I think he's done about as well as the Chiefs could ask out of him.
I love Pacheco. I thought he was such a big part of all of this. He's down for a while, maybe the entire season. Kareem Hunt, we have learned, is expected to be active on Sunday against the Chargers. Is Carson Steele the right guy? Is he the one, or could Kareem Hunt and even potentially Samaje Perine. Could this be kind of a shuffle situation in the backfield?
Yeah, I don't know how all this is going to shake out. It's going to be interesting to see how it does. I thought the backfield worked pretty well last night or Sunday night in Atlanta without Kareem Hunt. So I'm kind of wondering what the idea is behind that. What the Chiefs think they're going to get that they didn't get the other night? Because I thought those guys, Perine and Steele, did a really nice job. So we'll see. Somebody's going to lose some carries. Somebody's going to lose out if Kareem Hunt plays. And I don't know how that's going to work. I would think all three guys would get some snaps, but we'll see whether the Chiefs agree with that.
All right, Adam, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us, and we'll get you down the road.
All right, anytime, guys.
Thanks. Adam Teicher, ESPN.com. The Chiefs are fascinating. They go to L.A. to face the Chargers team. Have you seen any update on Justin Herbert?
I thought maybe that it was closer to that he will play than he won't.
Well, they have.
Also, the line was like 8.5, so that
suggests they played very good defense early on. Have the Chargers, so we'll see. That one kicking off at 3:25. Of course, all Chiefs coverage right here on our sister station, KNSS. We look forward to that.
Love that for us.
Yeah. Here's Kevin Saul, athletic director at Wichita State University. He joins us for his monthly appearance. Kevin, hello. Welcome.
Man, I love you guys. I could listen to that for days. You guys just ping-pong back and forth. It's perfect. I'm great. How are you guys?
We appreciate that, and we're hanging in there well. We appreciate your time as always. So I'm fascinated by college athletics, maybe more than I've ever been. And not necessarily for what's going on the playing field. I find it incredible what's happening off the playing field with expansion and NIL and transfer portal. And we've been watching with great interest as the Pac-12 tries to get back into some kind of stature, and certainly made an attempt to bring in four schools from the American: Memphis, UTSA, Tulane, and South Florida. That was nixed yesterday, those first four schools committing to the American. This stuff is amazing. How do you take it all in?
Well, I think what the objective is just to be a sponge for information and lean on those that know that are involved in those discussions, right? I mean, it's the best thing that you can do. It's if you react and jump every time there's news, that's all you'll do is just keep jumping around and stressing and worrying over different things. So I have to commend our commissioner, Tim Pernetti. His leadership's been phenomenal here this first 5-6 months. And he's done a really nice job of keeping the dialogue open and transparent and very communicative with ADs, inclusive of those four schools that you referenced, and just walking through it, I guess, more in a consultant type role than a convincer type role. At the end of the day, you've had four institutions that were approached by the Pac-12, and indications were that the Pac-12 had a consultant that was working with them to project and speculate media value for a new league or a projected new league. And those numbers weren't necessarily ones that you could quote unquote take to the bank. And so I think every institution has decisions to make, right? So the South Florida might be in a little bit different position because of geographics. And Tulane might be in a little bit different based on their profile. So I think everybody's going to evaluate those things and where they stand and what that looks like. At the end of the day, all those institutions are doing is to try to provide more and better resources for their student athletes, recruitment, retention, development, all those things. So it is a very, very interesting dynamic, and we could talk probably an entire show on how the Pac-12 is doing what they're doing with Mountain West schools, how the Mountain West would respond to that. You know, as I was a student athlete, I was in three different leagues over the course of 4 years, guys. And I tell you that what the Mountain West is doing and the Pac-12 is doing is really just kind of shuffling the decks out in the West Coast. And we're starting to see a conglomeration of teams that we've seen. If you go back and look 12, 15 years ago, it starts to look very much like it looked 12, 15 years ago. And there's a lot of money changing hands to make it happen.
Yeah, that is interesting and a little strange. And I was just going to ask, you know, generally speaking, you don't have to address the four AAC schools in particular, but when a coach gives a commitment and then, you know, he'll leave, a player can commit to a school and then recommit and decommit. Are we naive to believe that a school saying or that it committing to a conference is more true than if any other party says it is, or is that real?
Jeff, I think contracts by their very nature have outs, right? And so the three entities that you just mentioned, whether it's a league, whether it's a head coach, or whether it's a student athlete, two out of the three of those have financial ramifications for breaking contracts. And so there are realities that come with realignment, right? Tens of millions of dollars in exit fees and or some news outlets call them poaching fees. But you see this changing of hands of dollars where the Pac-12 was sitting on substantial dollars based on the departures of schools out of their league and into the Big Ten. And then those dollars shift to the league that the Pac-12 is using to backfill their membership. And so there's financial ramifications for all of those things. Coaches have buyouts and all those things. What you haven't seen is those financial ramifications for student athletes. I do think that, you know, in the coming months and years, we might see what was the financial aid offer, you know, room, board, books, tuition, fees, cost of attendance, Alston educational funds. I do think there's going to be some transparency where you'll see NIL figures in those offers from schools to student athletes. And when that occurs, I think you'll probably see multi-year agreements that might have some buyouts and some financial implications to them.
Wow. Kevin Saul, our guest, athletic director at Wichita State University. So let's talk about men's basketball, because that's kind of the – even though, listen, we understand all of the programs matter and we get it, but men's basketball is Wichita State's version of football at most other schools. As I've often said and believe fully – everybody's trying to win, and not everybody can. There's a winner and a loser in every game played, unless you're playing soccer or something like that. How difficult is it to get to that point where Wichita State is once again a dynamic men's basketball program? What's it take? How do you facilitate that as an athletic director? What can you do to help Paul Mills get to that point?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking that question, Bob, because it's what I spend 20 hours a day thinking about. And at the end of the day, in its simplest form, I think you've got to hire really, really good people that are competent. They're great culture people that can lead programs and young people. These are leaders of young men and women, where those men and women want to be a part of what's going on, and they're willing to sacrifice to be a part of it. So it starts with really, really good people. And then we can go into every element of support for a program, whether that's, you know, scholarships or travel, gear, nutrition. All of those things are critically important. Our student athlete experience is critically important. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is having leadership in your programs and an administration that is committed to first-class service to student athletes and coaches and is committed to removing obstacles. That's ultimately what this is about, is remove obstacles to give our coaches and student athletes pathways for growth and development. And the success that we all yearn for doesn't happen overnight. And if it does happen overnight, you're probably going to read about it on the ticker a couple years later, because there's just no, there's no magic potion to this thing. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes collective commitment on the part of not only an administration and staff, but a community as well, in the form of season tickets, because we all understand that championships need to be aligned with championship level resources and expectations. So there's so many elements to it, Bob, but at the end of the day, it comes down to having high quality people in your program that understand the direction, right? Direction determines destination. So first you got to be pointed in the right direction. And then at the end of the day, you've got to travel the pathway and the journey and remove obstacles and understand. Paul says it all the time. Elevators don't get to the top right away. There are levels to this thing, and we'll continue to progress and get better every day.
So, you know, last year, men's basketball played a game against KU that raised NIL funds. We've seen Oklahoma State put a QR code on the back of their helmet. We've seen Tennessee add a NIL fee to ticket prices. How do you, as an athletic program, go about exploring creative ways to increase your NIL profile? And what have those conversations been like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that, too. So as you guys know, in the summer of 22, we were at zero NIL dollars. We didn't raise our first NIL dollars until January 6th of 23. Last year, the collective distributed combined all sports right around 400,000. This year, we'll be a little north of a million. And so the growth has been great, and it comes in a lot of different pathways, Jeff. It's from the monthly memberships, right, the drive for 5,000. That has really picked up some steam here recently to targeting individual gifts and donations, and we've had some success there as well. I think people have had to learn, our head coaches and me, to have trust in what we're doing and then learn about NIL, which is really important as well. But I think, again, there are so many different pathways. There's some creative things going on, too. I mean, we are exploring some roundup campaigns, where you guys know when you go to the grocery store, you can round up for the Red Cross, or you can we're looking at opportunities to be able to do that. We have a program that's called Shipping with the Shocks, where you've got a company that that say we've got a business in Wichita that has an interest in exploring a different relationship in terms of shipping for their company or their business, their goods. There is a company out there that has great distribution all over the country, working with many different schools, where they will actually take a portion of their net profits and donate it to the local school and their collective. So there's a lot of creative things that are going on, and we're exploring every single one of them, because at the end of the day, it's not fair to put the responsibility on the backs of any one of those constituents. But by really maximizing all of those multiple pathways, I think we can get to a spot where we'll be very competitive in both recruitment and retention.
Final moments here with Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. I was in print journalism for more than four decades. Certainly, Wichita State athletics was a high priority for us. Now, in this age where, listen, Taylor Eldridge does everything humanly possible for the Wichita Eagle, but it's really hard to get to everything. When you have sports like women's tennis and volleyball and some of those things that maybe don't get the kind of widespread coverage they used to, how do you keep that on the forefront? I know you have your own social media people and people in your department who are putting news out there, but is that an issue at all?
I think it always has been, Bob. You with all 16 of our sports, you know, we need to do a very good job internally of telling our story. And whether that's our coaches, our student athletes, competitive results, or pregame previews and all of those things, it's number one, telling the story, and then it's the distribution. And as you know, Bob, the distribution for a long time has been, you know, your media listserv. And so you're adding names to that, whether it's local media, regional media, national media. We want to try to distribute this thing as best as we can. And then you've got your social media strategy, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all of those things to try and get your story in front of people and do it in an efficient way, right? Because if you work to try to maximize all of those things, you're probably going to exceed the allocated resources you have to be able to do that. So marketing, promotions, advertisement, all of those things, we try to find a really good balance to do that. And I am pleased with the coverage of all of our sports. I think from a marketing and promotion standpoint, both internally and externally, we've made it a real priority. We're seeing attendances grow over the last year or two, which is certainly helpful. And again, success has to come with that as well, Bob. So as we continue to grow our programs, I just encourage Shocker Nation to give us a call. I think they're going to be very proud and pleased of where we're headed in both of our basketball programs. They've done a phenomenal job recruiting. We've got competitive schedules that we believe on both sides will position us, if we play well, to be an at-large consideration at the end of the year. And so this is a great opportunity for folks to get involved. Go on to GoShockers.com or call our ticket office at 316-978-FANS and come be a part of it, because we've got some special things going here.
All right. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you next month, okay?
All right. Take care, guys. I really appreciate it, and go Shockers.
Thanks. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. We got an hour left. We'll make it the best hour you've ever spent. Stay with us. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.